This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, am putting your linguistic wits to the test with a quiz. Play along at home. Go on, get something to write your answers on and something to write your answers with. Paper and pen or pencil? Classic. Etch-a-sketch? Impractical, but I guess better than scribbling on the wall with your own bodily fluids. Alternatively, visit theallusionist.org/2018quiz, where there's an answer sheet right there ready, with little tickable boxes for every answer. Now, are you ready for quiz? Here's a practice question. Does bi-weekly mean A, every 2 weeks, or B, twice a week? Answer, both. Ugh. Bi-weekly can mean the same as bi-monthly, or it might be 16 times more frequent than that. You see the problem? Americans, you need to get on board with the word fortnightly. It would really spare a lot of confusion. Okay, now for the questions proper. Most are multiple choice, all are about words, and here to kick us off is my fellow Radiotopian Hrishikesh Hirway of Song Exploder and the West Wing Weekly.
The dot on a letter I is called A, a tittle, B, a tattle, C, a doddle, or D, anonymous.
Dot on the I, is it called a tittle, a tattle, a dottle, or anonymous?
The answer is A, a tittle.
Tittle. Shares etymology with title. Next question is from Benjamin Walker, the titular star of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything.
The horrific disease botulism derives from the Latin word for A, bottle, B, projectile vomiting, C, egg, D, sausage.
Botulism is the word from the Latin for bottle, projectile vomiting, egg, or sausage.
The answer is D, sausage.
Yummy. And now for the clothing round. And here is 99% Invisible producer Avery Truffleman, who just made the excellent series Articles of Interest about the history and meaning of the clothing we wear. First clothing question, Avery, please.
An aglet means A, a cropped vest, B, a frilled collar, C, the thing on the end of your shoelace.
Aglet, is it a cropped vest, frilled collar, the thing on the end of your shoelace?
Answer. C, the thing on the end of your shoelace. That's what it's called. I never knew.
Aglet, the diminutive of the old French word for needle. Next question of clothes, Avery, thank you.
The word wardrobe derives from the word garde-robe, literally to guard your robes. But in a medieval castle, which other thing might the garde-robe have been? A, the toilet. B, the mailbox. C, the wine cellar.
The garderobe. Did it function also as the toilet, the mailbox, or the wine cellar?
Answer, A, the toilet. I don't quite understand.
Okay, in a medieval castle, there would be a little room, and the little room would have a seat with a hole in it through which excrement would fall from your body down into the moat below. And clothes were also kept in that little room because, well, gotta put them somewhere. And there was a school of thought that the ammonia in urine kept fleas away from your clothes. Final fashion question, Avery.
Felt, as in the fabric, derives from the old Germanic word meaning what? A, to beat. B, to feel. C, to weave.
Felt, from the old Germanic, to beat, to feel, or to weave.
Answer is A, to beat. Which I guess, I don't know, I guess you're kneading it in to kind of make that felty fabric. Anyway, it's very interesting. It just can't be beat. Ha ha ha.
Now, here is the Truth Podcast, Jonathan Mitchell, with the Truth or Untruth round. First question, Jonathan.
The idiom to give someone the cold shoulder originated in the 1800s when you would serve an unwelcome guest a cold shoulder of meat because it would be tough and gross. Truth or untruth?
Cold shoulder, a snub through the medium of cold meat. Truth or untruth?
Untruth.
But an often repeated untruth. It's most likely to have been a mistranslation from Latin in the Vulgate Bible of "they turned their backs on you." The Latin word, humerus, was used to mean both shoulder and back. Next question, please, Jonathan.
Remember the 90s craze Pogs? The name is a portmanteau of pig and dogs. Truth or untruth?
Pog, the fad and the brand name for the things that the fad was about. Is that word a portmanteau of pig and dogs? Jonathan, truth or untruth?
Untruth.
Pog is in fact an acronym of passion fruit, orange and guava, after a Hawaiian juice containing those fruits and named Pog. And under the Pog bottle caps, there were little cardboard discs printed with the images. And these would grow up to be Pogs. Final truth or untruth, Jonathan?
Feist, as in feisty, means a small dog. Truth or untruth?
Small dogs are often feisty, but are they etymologically feisty? Truth or untruth?
Truth.
Yes, around 200 years ago, feist meant a small dog. That was an abbreviation of feisting cur, a 16th century expression which meant stinky dog, from the earlier verb feisten or fisten, which meant to fart. So when you say someone is feisty, you're kinda saying they're farty. Now here is a question from Joe Richman of Radio Diaries.
Turkey, as in the bird, was named after the country Turkey, but in Turkey the country, turkeys, the bird, are named after a different country. Which one? A, India, B, China, C, Italy, or D, America?
When they talk about turkeys in Turkey, do they refer to India, China, Italy, or America?
The answer is A, India.
A turkey in Turkey is called Hindi, meaning Indian, and a lot of different languages reference India in their terms for turkey. French, Arabic, Russian, Polish, Italian, just to name a few. Why? It's complicated. The bird we know in English as turkey was originally domesticated by the Aztecs, then later taken across the Atlantic by the Spanish. In England, the birds started being sold from around the mid-16th century, and they were called turkeys then, either because they were mistaken for a kind of fowl already being sold there by Turkish traders, or possibly because the Spanish introduced the turkeys to northern Africa, which was at the time under Turkish rule, and from there these turkeys were traded with other European countries. And why do so many languages refer to India in their turkey names? Couple of possible reasons. One, that to much of Europe, Turkey, India, they're all over to the east, aren't they? Who can tell the difference? Other possible reason, that India was one common name for the New World, often attributed to Christopher Columbus believing he had landed in India when he arrived in the Caribbean. Other countries cited in different languages words for turkeys include the Netherlands, France, Greece, Ethiopia, Peru. Peru, at least, is on a similar longitude to where the birds originally came from. Basically, nobody is seeming that smart in their geographical turkey names. Another creature-related question now from Nate DeMeo from the Memory Palace.
Around 700 years ago, if you said urchin, you would have been talking about which animal? A, a mouse, B, a hedgehog, C, a hermit crab, or D, a chihuahua?
Urchin, did that used to mean a mouse, a hedgehog, a hermit crab, or a chihuahua?
The answer is B, a hedgehog.
So-called because hedgehogs spend time in hedges and have snouts a bit like hogs. Hedgehogs have only been called hedgehogs since the mid-15th century. Their prior name, urchins, or rather, urichons, from Old French, if you trace that word back to its root, it derives from the Proto-Indo-European gurs, which meant to bristle, a thing which hedgehogs do. And that is also a thing we humans do when we are frightened, our hairs stand on end. So, the word horror also comes from the same root word as urchin. It developed into a Latin verb, orere, to bristle with fear. Hedgehogs and horror. Old acquaintances. Eponyms round now, and here is eponym fan Roman Mars of 99% Invisible, with questions about things named after people.
George Washington Gale Ferris Jr. created the first official Ferris wheel for the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, but there were precursors several hundred years before called pleasure wheels. They were turned by A, water wheels, B, horses, C, strongmen.
The pre-Ferris wheel Ferris wheels, were they turned by water wheel, horses, or strongmen?
The answer is C, strongmen.
There are written accounts of riding on pleasure wheels turned by strongmen as far back as the early 1600s. Next question, please, Roman.
Zeppelin airships were named after the German Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin. In 1971, his granddaughter issued legal threats to Led Zeppelin, meaning that the band had to play a concert in Copenhagen under a different name. Was it A, the Dicks, B, the Knobs, C, Zed Zeppelin?
For one night only, Led Zeppelin had to play under which name? The Dicks, the Knobs, or Zed Zeppelin?
The answer is B, the Knobs.
After their European promoter, Claude Knobs. Last eponyms question, please.
The first Stetson hat was made by John B. Stetson out of what creature's skin? A, bear. B, beaver. C, bat.
To wear whilst panning for gold in Colorado, John B. Stetson made the first Stetson hat from the skin of bear, beaver, or bat?
The answer is B, beaver. Bonus question. The burpee exercise was named for the American physiologist Royal H. Burpee. How many burpees can I, Roman Mars, do in one go? The most I've ever done, full burpee with a push-up, was 100 at a time. And cardio burpees, I've never tested the limit. And that's where you don't do a push-up, you just go up and down. But I've done 36 in 1 minute.
No points for this question for any of you listeners, but well done, Roman. That does sound like a lot of burpees.
It is a horrible exercise. It is the worst combination of exercise in that it is both very hard and very boring.
Here is the final question of the quiz, and here are Jen Poyant and Manu Somorodi of Zigzag.
In the Bible, the word foot is a euphemism for
A, a poop.
B, a dog's butt.
C, a penis.
D, boobs.
A foot in the Bible was a coy euphemistic reference to poop, dog's butt, penis, or boobs.
Answer, C, a penis.
And that is the quiz. Tot up your scores out of a possible total of 14 points. What did you get? Apply one of the following responses to yourself as appropriate. Congratulations! Oh, not bad. Oh, better luck next time. Let me know how you did at Allusionist Show on Twitter and Facebook. And you can see all of these questions too at theallusionist.org/2018quiz. To round off 2018, let's have one more randomly selected word from the dictionary. Hesternal, adjective. Of yesterday. Try using it in an email today. This fundraiser special episode was written and produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. Music and noises were provided by Martin Austwick. Thanks to my fellow topes who appeared, they are good sports and very generous-hearted, and I am very proud and lucky to be in the Radiotopia Collective with them. Thanks also to the people of PRX, who work tirelessly behind the scenes to keep Radiotopia going. The Allusionist will return on the 23rd of January 2019, but in the meantime, catch up on all the episodes. This show is full of useful little facts and tidbits to throw into strugglesome conversations that you may be stuck having during the festive period. I am happy to provide this service. All the episodes and transcripts and additional material and the full dictionary entries for the word of the day and a lexicon of every word that's been discussed on the show and information about events that I'm doing and links to allusional social media, everything is at the show's forever home, theallusionist.org.